Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to start reading in verse 21, and we're going to read this account of what took place in the life of our Savior as he interacted with a mother. And then we're going to turn in a little bit back to the Old Testament, and I'll tell you in just a minute, it'll be the book of 2 Kings, but I'll tell you when we get to that part to turn back with me, and we're going to read a story of a mother in the Old Testament. Tonight, we're going to put those two stories together, and we're going to learn some things from these two moms about prayer tonight. So, Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 21. And we're going to read down through verse 28. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for each one that's here. Thank you that we have this book and we have stories about what happened to people just like us. And I pray tonight that we could learn from this one and the other one that we'll look at in just a minute. And I pray that you'd remind us and maybe teach us a new thing or two about prayer. What a privilege it is that you give us to pray. What a wonderful God you are to hear and answer our prayer. And so tonight, I pray that you'd bless us, that you'd speak to us, that you would accomplish in each life what you know needs to be accomplished tonight. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. The story that we just read is also recorded in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. And Matthew tells us that this woman came from Canaan. In the book of Mark, it tells us that she was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and as it does here in Matthew, that her daughter was possessed with a devil. She came to Jesus for help, and she said, Master, thou son of David, I need your help. My daughter's possessed with a devil. I'd like you to cast it out. As we read a moment ago, Jesus didn't respond to her at all. He just kept silent, didn't answer. His disciples said, Master, why don't you send this lady away? She's crying after us. And I don't believe that this was just the first time a lady came. Based on what the disciples said, I think this lady was like blind Bartimaeus. You remember blind Bartimaeus that sat by the side of the road and he heard Jesus was coming by and he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, help me, help me. And he cried out. Remember the people there said, be quiet. I mean, just be quiet. And that's what the disciples were saying. They said, Master, why don't you just tell this lady? She's causing a fuss. She's causing a bother. She's stirring up things. And she's crying after us. Tell her to be quiet. And so she asked again. She said, Jesus, I need your help. And Jesus said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, I can't help you. You're not a Jew. I was sent to the Jewish people. I was sent to help them, and I can't help you. And then I want you to notice what that next verse says. The Bible says that she came and worshipped him. I mean, she came and loved him. She came and praised him. She came, and that's what the word worship means. She expressed her love toward him. Now, just think about it. He had ignored her. The disciples had said, send her away. Jesus had just said, I can't, you're not a Jew, I can't help you. And yet this woman worshipped him. And let me say tonight, this is not part of my message, but I was thinking about it as I was on the way to church tonight, whether God answers our prayers or not, he is still worthy to be worshipped. When we pray and ask for something and God says, no, I'm not going to give you that, and he makes us wait for a while, we should still worship him. We should still say, what a great God we have. We should still say, our God is worthy of our love and of our praise. And we should still direct our love toward Him. Listen, He wouldn't have to answer another prayer that we prayed. He's done enough for us already. We could spend the rest of our mortal lives lifting our voice to heaven, praising God for everything He's done for us already. But let me tell you something, He's not done answering prayer. He's still going to do it. And yet here was a lady who had got no indication, no sign at all that Jesus was going to help her. But she said, I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to praise you anyway. Then I want you to notice what Jesus said. He said, hey, I can't take what's meant for the children and give it to dogs. Now, in a sense, what Jesus was saying, and by the way, this is how the Jews felt about Gentiles back in that day. If you weren't Jewish, you were a dog. They had no respect for you. They had no love for you. And they treated, the Jewish people treated the Gentiles, and especially the Samaritans, which were half Gentiles and half dogs, Jews and half Gentiles. They treated the Samaritans especially like dogs, but they had no regard for the Gentiles. And so in effect, what Jesus was saying, now look, you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile, you're a dog. I can't take what God intended for me to bring to His people, the Jewish people, and give to you. And then this lady said something wonderful. She said, that's true, Master, but even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And what she was saying is, Master, I don't want a whole loaf. I just want a crumb. I don't even want one slice. I just want a crumb. I know you're going to do good things for your people. I know you're going to do good things for the Jews. I just want some of the stuff that they let fall off the table. I just want a crumb. And Jesus said to that lady, oh woman, great is thy faith. And the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I think the Son of God was very pleased with the faith that He saw in that lady, because He said, I tell you what, the great is your faith, you can have whatever you want. I preached one time from this verse a sermon entitled, How a Mother Got a Blank Check from Jesus. And that's exactly what He gave her. He took a check drawn on the bank of heaven, wrote her name on it, signed His name at the bottom, and He said, you fill it out, ask whatever you want. And she said, well, she didn't say it, but she said to herself, at least as we read the rest of the story, all I want is for the devil to go out of my daughter. And the Bible says that the devil was out from that very hour. He was gone. Now, I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 2 Kings. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 4. By the way, do you know that the word crumb is only mentioned 3 times in the Bible? It's mentioned twice in this story as it's told in Matthew and Mark. And the only other time that the word crumb is used is in the story of Lazarus, or the rich man and Lazarus, well, yeah, Lazarus the beggar. And it says in Luke chapter 16, we're talking about that beggar, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And I found that interesting. Only 3 times used in the Bible, and all 3 times crumbs and dogs were used together. I read a story this afternoon. There was a Jewish rabbi, a priest, and a Baptist preacher, and they were debating about when life began. And the rabbi said, well, I believe life begins at conception. And the priest said, well, I believe life begins at birth. And the Baptist preacher says, I believe life begins when the kids leave and the dog dies. I know that you guys love dogs, so you didn't have to laugh. but anyhow, okay, so 2 Kings chapter 4. Let's look at verse 13. I'm going to read this. Here's another story. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us. And this is Elisha talking to his servant. And he's talking about this lady that has cared for them, given them a place to live. Thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elijah had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God, to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she answered, it is well. And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thy hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not wakened. And when Elijah was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes and he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Two Gentile women. The one we read about in the New Testament and this one. Two mothers. One with a daughter, one with a son. They both needed something from God for their children. Both went to God. The lady in the Old Testament went to the man of God, Elisha. The lady in the New Testament went to Jesus. And they both got what they needed from God for the children. I mean, God answered both of their prayers. In the one case, the devil was cast out of the daughter. In the other case, a child that was dead was brought back to life. And I can't help but think that there's somebody here tonight that knows somebody, maybe a child, maybe a parent, maybe a friend, maybe a grandchild, maybe a brother, maybe a sister, and that person needs something from God. Somebody that you know in your life, maybe somebody that you love, needs something from God. And tonight, I have a simple message. It won't be very long, but I want to encourage you. I want to remind you that God still hears and answers prayer. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. And over again, God in the Bible, he says, you call, you pray, I'll hear your prayer and I'll answer your prayer. In fact, I'll answer it in some cases in ways that you can't imagine, that you don't even know how to ask for, in ways that you don't know. Thou knowest not. And I'll answer those prayers if you call. And tonight, there's three things that I think we can learn from these two mothers that'll help us as we pray, especially as we pray for others, those in our life that need something from God that we can't give, but God can, in answer to prayer. And so I want to mention these three things to you. Number one, when all the odds are against you and when all hope is gone from a human perspective, just keep praying. Just keep praying. When you look at a situation and you say, it's gone so far that there's nothing that can be done. It's a hopeless case. It's a hopeless cause. Nobody can help. When you get into that situation, the thing that I think we can learn from these two mothers is just keep praying. Pray on. The mother in the New Testament, Jesus had ignored her. The disciples had tried to shoo her away. Jesus called her a dog and says, I can't help you. I wasn't sent to help the Gentiles. I can't take what was meant for God's people and give it to you. The odds were against her. She might have said at that point, and many of us might have said at that point, it's hopeless. I can't get through. Jesus won't listen to me. He won't help me. He's ignored me. His followers have tried to send me away. He called me a Gentile and called me a dog. There's no hope of him helping me. She said, I think I'll just pray on. The mother in the Old Testament whose child was dead. Now, I want you to stop and think about it for just a second. At that point in history, dead was dead. At that point in history, there had never been a recorded case of anybody even being raised from the dead. Jesus had not been on the scene yet. He had not saw the casket as it would be being carried out of the city of Nain and saw that widow who was burying her only son. And he stopped the funeral and he said, said something like, son, arise. And that boy came back to life. That hasn't happened yet. The ruler Jairus hadn't come to him and said, my daughter's sick. And Jesus said, let's go to your house. And somebody came from the house and said, Master, don't bother Jesus anymore. Your daughter's dead. And Jesus said to Jairus, don't despair, only believe. And they went to the house and they were making much ado about the death of this daughter. And Jesus took his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, and the mom and dad into the room and took that little girl by the hand and called her back from the dead. That hadn't happened yet. This mother didn't have a Bible to read that from. She didn't know about the widow's son that was raised from the dead. She didn't know about Jairus' daughter. She didn't read about where Jesus went into that cemetery and stood there as they rolled the rock back from the grave and cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And saw that one that had been dead for 4 days come hopping out of the grave, restored to life. She didn't have that hope that her son could be called back to the dead. Peter hadn't raised Dorcas yet, as recorded in Acts chapter 9. Paul hadn't raised that little boy that was sitting in the window at the third story and fell asleep when he was preaching. See, there's a penalty for falling asleep when the preacher's preaching. But Paul hadn't raised him from the dead yet when he fell out of that window and they brought him up dead. All of that hadn't happened yet. I mean, when you were dead in this woman's time, you were dead. There was no hope. But she said, I think I'll just pray on. I won't give up. I think I'll just keep praying. And when the odds are against you, and when all hope is gone, you just need to keep praying. I mean, when you can't see any way out for your friend, or when you can't see any way out for your son, or you can't see any way out for your daughter, you can't see any way out for your brother or your sister, you just keep praying. You just keep asking God to work. You say, but I can't see what he can do. You don't have to see what he can do. You just have to trust that he's a God that can solve any situation, that can fix any problem, and he'll do that in answer to prayer. Just pray on. We sing that little chorus, got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do. And what a shame it is that we get into some, or we hear about given situations and we see people that we love in situations and we give up on God. And that's why the Bible says in the book of James, you have not because you ask not. We quit praying. Man, when somebody gets in a hopeless cause, in a hopeless case, that's the time they need God. And that's the time we need to hold them up in prayer. And so when the odds are stacked against you, and when all hope from a human perspective is gone, just keep praying. Just keep praying. Number two, as you pray, grab hold of God and don't let go. Don't let go. It was easy, it would have been easy for this little girl's mother to get discouraged. It would have been easy for this little girl's mother to turn and walk away from Jesus, not getting her prayers answered. He ignored her, called her a dog. And yet she said, I'm not leaving. The disciple said, go on, get away. You're bothering us. You're raising her. She said, no, I'm not leaving. I'm staying. There's only one person that could help me, and that's the one right there. And you may try to send me away. You may ignore me. You may call me names. I don't care. I'm staying until Jesus helps me. The young man's mom said, we read it in verse 30, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Hey, Elisha, it's okay that you sent your servant. It's okay that he's got your staff. It's okay that you told him now to go to my son and not to talk to anybody on the way, not to answer anybody, to lay that staff on his face. But the Bible says she grabbed hold of his feet and says, I'm not leaving till you come with me. And I like this. This is interesting. And I never realized this till earlier this week when I was preparing this message. Do you know that this lady used Elisha's words, the very words that he said to Elijah? A couple chapters earlier in 2 Kings, boy, it gets me excited. A couple chapters earlier in 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah and Elisha were together. And God had told Elijah that he was ready to take him to heaven. And verse 2, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, listen to what he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Now, let me go back. Let me read for you again. Verse 30, if I can find it in my notes. Let me just turn in my Bible, since I can't. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 30. Here's what this mother said to Elijah. As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Here's what Elisha said to Elijah. As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Isn't that good? Now, two verses later, and Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And you know the rest of the story. Elisha got a double portion from God of the blessings that he put on Elijah. Why? Because he was there till the end. Because he didn't leave. Because he stayed and saw Elijah go up to heaven in a fiery chariot. He said, Elijah said, go, you stay here. I got to go to Bethel. You stay here. I got to go to Jericho. And Elisha said, no, no. As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. A few months later, this lady grabs hold of Elisha's feet. Her son's dead. She's come to the man of God because she thinks, she knows that only God can help her. And Elisha says to his servant, "Take my staff, go lay it on his face." And the lady says, "You can send your servant and you can send your staff, but I'm not letting go until you go with me. As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And in Elisha's mind, he went back to the time that Elijah told him to tarry, and he said those very same words. And he knew that God blessed him and gave him a double portion because he stayed. And he said, "Might as well go. This lady's going to stay. I can see the same determination that I had in her. I can see the same stick-to-itiveness in her that I had in me when Elijah told me to go. Might as well go." And so, when you get into a hopeless situation, pray on and grab hold to God and say, "I'm not letting go. I'm not leaving until you help me. Until you help me." I would dare say there's few people that pray like that. We pray, we ask God, but we get tired and we give up. We think God doesn't answer us right away, that he must not want what we want. We think that God doesn't answer us right away, and so we said, "Well, I'll pray for something else." Do you ever stop and consider maybe God just wants to see how bad you want it? You ever stop and consider maybe he's just going to see how long you're going to tarry in prayer to see if you really want it? Just grab hold. I like the story in the Bible of Jacob when he was wrestling with the angel of God. Remember that night before he met Esau? And the angel said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh. Sun's about to rise." And Jacob said, "No, I'm not letting you go until you bless me." And that's the same way we need to do in our prayers. We need to grab hold of God and not let go. Number three, all you need to ask for is a crumb. Just a crumb. You see, when you're talking to God, you're talking to the one that created the world. You go back and you read the first chapter of Genesis, you see where he spoke light into existence. You see where he made the firmament at his word. He made the mighty oceans and the continents. Made all the grass, the trees, and the flowers. Made every bird, every fish, every animal. You go out tonight. It'll be a clear night tonight. You go out tonight and you look up at the moon and the stars. And say like David, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the sun or the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" Your need compared to God's power is just a crumb. Your need compared to God's storehouse is just a crumb. And when you go to God with a need that looks hopeless and you grab onto him and say, "I'm not leaving until you answer my prayer," all you're asking for is a crumb. You don't need the power that created the worlds. You just need a crumb. You don't need a power that spoke every world into being, and the sun, moon, and the stars. You just need a crumb. You don't need the whole loaf. You just need a crumb. You don't need a slice from the center. You just need a crumb. You don't need the heel. You just need a crumb. I sort of think God would give us a crumb if we ask him. And there's been many a person who could testify, as Brother Forrest reminded us this morning when he talked about or sang about, if I could hear my mother pray again. There's been many a person that's been saved, that's been brought back from a life that's been wasted because there was a little mother somewhere that said, "Even though it looks hopeless, I think God can still work. And I'm going to pray, and I'm not going to give up. And I'm just going to ask for a crumb, just a little bit of God's power to work in the life of my child." bring them back. You see, prayer, I believe prayer is not only asking God for things, but I believe true prayer is getting answers from God. He doesn't give us every time what we ask for. Sometimes He gives us things better. And He doesn't always give them to us when we want them, as Sue testified a minute ago. But His timing is always right. And so I would encourage you tonight, don't give up on God. If you know somebody that has a need, then you just say, and it looks hopeless, you just say, I'm going to keep praying. And I'm going to get a hold of God, and I'm going to show Him that I'm serious. I'm not going to quit until He blesses me. I don't need all His power. I just need a little bit. Just a little bit. To take care of this situation. And God will answer praying like that, as He did in the life of these two mothers. They're a good example for us. They teach us about prayer. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for tonight. Thank You for these wonderful examples of mothers that prayed. And we can learn something about how we should pray from how they did. There's probably folks here tonight, and probably nobody else knows but them, of a need in a life that they know they love. And it might look hopeless tonight. We can't figure it out with our intellect. But You know the answer, and You know what's needed. And my prayer is tonight that we'd learn what it is to truly pray, to get a hold of You, and to make our requests known unto You, and to beg, and to hold on and hold out until You answer. And so tonight, God, I pray that we'd be encouraged in our prayer life. We'd spend more time in prayer. If You decide not to answer in the way that we see fit, You're still worthy of our worship. And we're still going to praise You, and we're still going to love You. But help us to keep praying. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, the first prayer they need to pray is, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I pray tonight You'd help them see their sin. Help them see the price for that sin. Help them see the price that Jesus paid on Calvary. And tonight, as the Holy Spirit speaks to them, I pray that they'd make the decision to come and receive Christ. Bless the invitation. Use it to bring honor and glory to our Savior. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.